بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Think about the stress, the anxiety that we face in our lives, the weariness, the tiredness, the problems, the troubles, the challenges. And imagine if all of these issues that you face in your life, these challenges, these problems, these stresses and the weariness, if you combine all that together, lump it all together, if you could just hit the delete button and get rid of all your worries and all the things that cause you trouble in this life, in this world. And all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. And then imagine if you didn't have to go to work and you didn't have to go to school and you could just sit on a couch all day and socialize and do all the fun things that you enjoy doing. And you enjoy, and imagine being served. Being served so you don't even have to get up to get yourself a snack or a meal or a drink. You can enjoy life and just have fun. Sounds pretty good, right? We would all love to have this. We would all love to have that. But unfortunately, we cannot have it now. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, when He's describing the believers and when they're going into Jannah, He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. Enter here in peace, free of fear, in a state of complete peacefulness. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى صُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And we shall have removed whatever grudge they had in their hearts, whatever ill feelings there are that we have in this world for one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that's all going to be cleared out. So there will be no arguments and no fights and no stress when it comes to relationships. And Allah says that's making them brothers sitting on couches face to face. So not even like in a boarding lounge where you're looking at the backs of people, but rather you're looking at them face to face and you're enjoying that. لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. And no weariness shall touch them. No tiredness, no weariness shall touch them. Nor will they be expelled from there. Their time's not going to be up. No one's going to say, okay, the time limit has come and now you have to leave. There, that's not going to happen. And you'll even have the opportunity to drink wine, which will be permissible and which will be halal there. And there will be no intoxication. No one will be getting drunk. No hangovers. Right? No one throwing up because they drank too much. No headaches. No drinking while intoxicated. لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ عَنْهَا يُنزَفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding this drink that there will be no headache therein, and nor they will be intoxicated with it. So all types of harm, all types of problems, all the negativity that we face in the life of this world, in the form of problems and stress and issues and challenges and tragedies and incidents, all of those will be completely gone. None of that will exist there. So we would all love to live in such a world, in this life. But this is reserved for the believers in Jannah. And every person in this world, every single individual in this world, no matter how rich the person is, no matter how well off the person is, no matter how settled they are, no matter how established they are, no matter how educated they are, no matter how healthy they are, whether they are a believer or not, everyone faces a situation. Faces situations at one point or the other. Challenges, problems. At some point, that cause stress, that cause anxiety, and that cause weariness. For some, it's poverty. For some, it's health. For some, it's family problems. For some, it's work issues. And so on and so forth. So everyone faces one thing or the other. And this is a fact of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits. So loss of the wealth, lots of lives, lots of fruit. But وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, but give glad tidings to the الصَّابِرُونَ, those who, and now we normally translate this as those who are patient. But I was reading that perhaps a better translation is those who endure, those who have endurance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there He's telling us that you will be tested in one way or the other. Every single human being, every single individual, every single community will be tested in one way or the other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides what that test is going to be. As He also says, second ayah of Surah Al-Mulk, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about Himself, describing His own qualities, He says, who has created death and life, that He may test. That He may test you. See, which of you is best indeed? Who is the person, who is the one who responds in the best way? So when we are faced with challenges, when we are faced with problems, when we have stress and when we have anxiety, and there are things in our life, or things that we are experiencing, that are affecting us negatively, we have choices to make. We have choices to make, and usually there are multiple ways to respond to those challenges. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to think about what is the best way to respond. What is the most appropriate response? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us about these people who are patient when they are faced with these trials and tribulations. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً, who when a suffering visits them, when a unforeseen negative circumstance, a problem comes to them, what do they say? قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, we certainly belong to Allah and to Him we are bound to return. So they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah says, those are the ones upon whom there are blessings from their Lord. These are the people who have this attitude towards problems and challenges, the ones who get the blessings from their Lord and the mercy as well, and those are the ones who are on the right path. So when we analyze these verses, and when we analyze what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying to us, we learn three things that we should do when we are faced with challenges, and when we are faced with problems, when we are faced with stress, and different kinds of unforeseen circumstances, which we may find challenging. Number one, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So right before this verse where Allah talks about the different types of tests, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that all you who believe, seek help. اسْتَعِينُوا, seek help, how? Through patience and prayer. بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, through sabr, through patience and endurance, and through prayer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, verily Allah is with those who are the sabirun, those who are patient and those who endure. So first of all, seek help. Okay, take action, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through endurance and patience and through prayer. So remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When an unforeseen circumstance, a challenge, a problem comes to you, first remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I just recited, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Again, these are the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a musibah, when a problem comes to them. So that's number one. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, sabr. So endurance. Also, self-restraint. So controlling ourselves and managing our reaction, managing the way we respond, to do so in an appropriate way. If there's something that we don't want happening to us, yet it happens, we tried our best, we were driving safely, we said our dua before we got into the car, we were not breaking any laws, yet someone comes and hits our car, we get into a car accident. Or we were working, and we were working diligently at work, and we were discharging all of our responsibilities, and we get laid off. Or we studied hard, and we tried our best, yet we fail the exam, or something happens and we don't get the credits we deserve. So something happens, which you didn't want, which you didn't plan for, yet it came to you. It happened. accept it as the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this beautiful hadith which we have mentioned many times before, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How strange, how wonderful is the case of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ. That there is good for him in all matters. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ. Emphasis upon emphasis. إِنَّ verily أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ, all of it, لَهُ خَيْرٍ. There is good for him. Verily there is good for him in all matters. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this applies only to a believer. إِنَّ أَصَابَتْهُ صَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا. If prosperity, if joy comes to him, how does the believer respond? He expresses gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does shukr, and that is good for him. When asabatu dharra, sabara fakana khayran lah. If adversity befalls him, if an unforeseen circumstance, some negativity comes upon him, he endures it patiently, and that is better for him. Now note that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when prosperity and something good comes, the person, the believer, is thankful. Thankfulness. He expresses gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look deeper into the meaning of gratitude and shukr, it's not simply just to say alhamdulillah or to say thank you Allah. Not just lip service. Yes, that is also important to say it, to express it. But also to feel it. And to act accordingly. So that we don't use the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to go against Him. Because that's going against the spirit of gratitude. If somebody gives you a favor, grants you a favor, and does something good to you, you say, well, thank you very much, but then you go around and use that same favor to harm that person, that's treachery. That's not being thankful. That's being treacherous. Right? So to be truly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, we say it with our lips. We thank Allah when we dua, when we supplicate, but at the same time we make sure that the blessings that He has given us, we use them in the best way, in the appropriate way, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when adversity falls upon us, and the command from Allah is to be enduring and to be patient, and that's the guidance from the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, it does not mean that we become complacent. It does not mean that we just sit down and give up. And we don't try to make things better, we don't try to solve the issue. When we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time we look at a challenge that he faced, we find that he did not give up. He tried to use reasonable means to remedy the situation in whatever way was possible at that time. So for example, if you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll learn that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered from extreme hunger at times, as did his companions. There were times when there was no food. There were times that there was no food and nothing to eat for people. And they were hungry. And the famous story goes that when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him, finally brought up the fact that they were so hungry, that they were starving for food, and that they had tied a stone to their stomachs so that they wouldn't feel as hungry, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two stones. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two stones. Even the time during the battle of the trench, when they were digging the khandaq, the trench around the city of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a stone tied to his stomach. So yes, there was hunger, and perhaps there was no way of fulfilling that hunger. Yet the Prophet ﷺ took action to alleviate that as much as possible by tying stones to his blessed stomach. When there was persecution of the Muslims in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed emigration, allowed people to leave. Inna ardullahi wasi'a. Inna ardullahi wasi'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that look, Allah's earth is wide. So if you're having trouble in one place, you're facing challenges, and you're not allowed to practice your faith freely and openly, and you're being persecuted for that, then yes, Allah's earth is wide, and you go ahead, it's widespread, you go wherever you can find peace and security. During the embargo that the Quraysh put upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his people and the believers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just give up. He continued to preach during that time. He continued to reach out to people. He continued to try to pass on the message and get people to accept and to understand. So the lesson that we get is that whatever the circumstances, whatever the challenge, whatever the problem, we try to find appropriate ways. We try to find appropriate ways, whatever is reasonably possible, to make the situation better. So the approach of the believer is not one of pessimism where he or she gives up, but rather takes that challenge, takes that problem, takes that issue as an opportunity to respond in a good way, to respond in the best of ways. And that's the last part of it, to respond in the best way, which is the most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, remember Allah, be patient and be enduring, and finally find ways, and find the best way to respond to that circumstance and that challenge. So number one, the best way means, number one, which is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. The way of responding which conforms to the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And also, then, a response which is the most appropriate under the circumstances. With long-term vision and wisdom. Not just reactionary, that something happens and we react reflexively just right away in whatever comes in our mind. No, take your time. Ponder, reflect, weigh your options, and see which is the best way to respond. And we find that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, that he would sacrifice short-term benefit for long-term gain. Sacrifice short-term benefit for long-term gain. So have a vision and foresight to be able to look forward and to decide and take decisions with wisdom and with much thought. So as individuals, as families, as a community, we face challenges. We face all types of challenges. And this should be our formula that we should be trying to apply, and we are, to the best of our ability, to challenge, to confront these challenges and to deal with them in the best way possible. And there are many challenges, and you know, we talk about them recently, and there's no shortage. So Muslims, you know, they get blamed for many things. Muslims are attacked in many places, unfortunately. There's a lot of negativity. You know, there's a label of terrorism. There's the issues regarding domestic violence, which of course exists everywhere, in every community. And every time I mention this, whenever I'm talking about this, that these are not specific to any one community. This is right across the board. If you look at the statistics, it's right across the board. And the people who are in the field, the experts, will tell you that there is no profile. There's no one profile, there's no one factor which indicates, okay, these are the people who suffer from these types of problems, and that others don't. Whether it's rich, poor, educated, not religious practicing, not whatever it is, whichever ethnicity, these problems exist right across the board, unfortunately. So what do? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And we remember Allah, we seek His help. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. We are patient, and we endure these challenges. We give hope to one another and strength to one another that yes, we can make it through these challenges. These are not new challenges. Challenges have existed for Muslims right from the very beginning. So we will make it through, inshallah. And then we look for and we search for the best ways to respond. And we turn it into an opportunity for goodness, an opportunity for positivity. There's a recent story. Well, of course, there was the terrible events in London over the last few weeks. And many, many masajid, many Muslims, especially masajid, were attacked. Over 150, according to some figures. And there were people who took this opportunity to express their hatred towards Muslims and towards Islam, because they have that agenda. There was one group in particular which targeted a small masjid in the city of York in England. And it was a small masjid, and the group that turned out to protest was also small. There were about 6 people apparently. In any case, they came, and the group that organized it, they're known for expressing hatred towards Muslims and immigrants towards Islam. So what did the masjid do? They turned it into an opportunity. They turned it into an opportunity to respond in the best of ways. So the protesters came, and instead of fighting with them, arguing with them, or running away and hiding from them, they went out and welcomed them. They went out and welcomed them, had a conversation with them, which lasted for about half an hour to 40 minutes, and then invited them inside the masjid. They said, why don't you come inside and, in typical British style, have some tea and biscuits, and some custard as well, apparently. So they came inside, and they had the tea and they had the biscuits, and they had a conversation, and they were able to exchange their views. So the people who were protesting, they wanted to be heard, so the Muslims listened to what they had to say, and perhaps corrected some of their misunderstandings. And the Muslims in the masjid, they also gave their perspective as well. And they actually found out that, you know, there wasn't that much of a difference. So there were, of course, some issues, but they were able to talk it out. And there were actually things that they agreed upon. And then they said, okay, let's go play some football. And that's not American football, by the way. So let's go play some soccer, as we would say. Okay. So then they went out and they played soccer. And that was it. And the protesters left. So here you had a circumstance, you had a situation which could have been very negative, but because it was turned into an opportunity, and the brothers and sisters there thought of how to respond in the best of ways, it actually became a very good example of what can be done if you put our minds to it, and if you think rationally, and if you think with a cool mind. And of course, this story then went viral and got national and international attention. Now, when it comes to the issue of domestic violence, yes, there is unfair attention upon our community. But we can turn it into an opportunity, as we have tried to do. So we use it as a means of promoting positive change within our homes. Because yes, we recognize that yes, it's a common problem, and everyone, it affects everyone in every community, but it affects people in our community as well, and it happens. And we should do our part to address that. And it's also an opportunity for us then to go outside our community and to raise awareness about the same problem and remind people that, look, yes, we're doing our part, but this is a widespread problem. The way women are treated in society, especially here, is not really in a nice way. We all know that. It's the elephant in the room. We don't want to talk about it. We all claim, and we are told that, yes, women have rights, and we respect women, and they have opportunities, and so on. But all the men know, everyone knows, how men look at women and how they treat them. Okay, so this is an opportunity to raise these issues and to encourage people, our fellow citizens and our neighbors, to join us in addressing these issues. We have challenges surrounding children and youth in our communities. And again, this is not limited to Muslims. Right? Somebody mentioned to me the other day, well, you know, it seems as if, you know, when we're taking these initiatives, it's as if, like, you know, it's just the Muslim community who has these problems. And I responded, I said, well, the Children's Aid Society was not formed because of Muslims. The Children's Aid Society was not formed because of a Muslim problem. Okay, it was formed a long time ago. It was not because it was an issue that was specific to Muslims, obviously. Okay, but yes, it is an issue which is not limited to Muslims, but we do have our issues just like everyone else. So again, we are trying to find the best way to respond. The best way to respond to the challenges and to improve the situation. And as part of that, alhamdulillah, today we are blessed to have with us people from the Muslim Resource Center in London, Ontario, to help us with the launch of a new project. And the government of Ontario is helping in this project, alhamdulillah, and has provided funding. And this is to allow us to learn from the great work that has been done by the Muslim Resource Center in London, Ontario, in their work with the Children's Aid Society. So that the issues that the Muslim families face are dealt with in an appropriate way. So that the issues that are faced by Muslim families, when it has to do with Muslim children, and they have to deal with the Children's Aid Society, is done in an appropriate way, in a proper way, so that everyone benefits from that interaction, so that there is no harm to anyone involved, and that we develop safe and healthy households. So the first step is to help families before an issue becomes a problem. Okay, because very rarely does something come up just like this. Right? There's usually some indicators or something that's cooking first before some issues become prominent. Although it doesn't always happen like that, but many times that is the case. So first of all, to help families before an issue becomes a problem. And secondly, also offer assistance Because this can be a very difficult experience for everyone involved. When you have to deal with the authorities, when you have issues in the home, and you're dealing with social service agencies, and especially the Shona Day Society, this can be very difficult. So to have the ability in our community to offer assistance to families going through that, to offer guidance, to help the children, the parents, and the families go through these challenges, and eventually to make things better for everyone involved. So that the Children's Aid Society is aware of how to best deal with situations that have to do with members of our community in an appropriate way. And so that our help is available to them, right, and to the family, to come to a peaceful resolution, a positive resolution, where we are building healthy and safe homes and families. So that the children are put in a safe environment. And many times children have to be put, or taken out of their homes rather, and they're sent either to a foster home or a group home. So to find a way so that our children are able to go to a safe environment which respects their faith and their culture. And that the parents are assured that they're not being targeted unfairly and that there are no misunderstandings. So these are the issues that we are hoping to address, inshallah, through this project. So at 3:30 p.m. today, inshallah, we will be having the project launch. We will be having representatives from the government and from the Children's Aid Society, a number of representatives, the top executive from the Children's Aid Society, coming to our center, inshallah, and others as well. And so therefore, I encourage and I invite all the adults to, inshallah, join us at 3:30. Normally, we love having children around, and you know, we're always welcoming to our children most of the time. But in this case, I would advise that if children can stay at home, that would be better. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this initiative that we are taking and that we are launching today is one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with goodness and positivity. We pray to Allah that those who have made the effort to make this happen and who are working very hard to address these issues in our communities, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and grant them steadfastness and the ability to continue their work. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects our families, protects all our children, protects all of our elders and our brothers and sisters and the parents and everyone who's involved in our communities. Not just the Muslim community, but all around us as well. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease from all types of pain and tests and affliction. Ameen.